Welcome. This is day five of the Money Magic Marathon. And today, what we're going to be centering on is family and family history, because that's one area where a lot of our money beliefs come from, and also a lot of the things that keep us from really making money or keeping money may originate. So I'm going to ask a few questions to see if people can find a few things that were said in their family and just think about how that's being reflected in today's reality. Then we're going to go and do the clearing, and whatever comes up for the collective will come up and we'll clear that. And then we'll see about what people have to say about the experience and any things that are coming up. So let's go with that. I've mentioned just before this call began that I'm going to be, I have sent out the Money Matrix financial assessment, which really helps you pinpoint a lot of the beliefs that you might have or that came from your family or your habits and patterns around money. So I really urge you to, as soon as possible, to fill that out and look at it carefully and see what it shows you, because that will definitely show you a few things about what's happening about money in your life. So to start in on the family thing, let's just ask a few questions here. First of all, what did your family say about money? Were they at ease with it? Or did they always say you have to work hard for money, or money doesn't grow on trees? What other kinds of sayings were there in your family about money? When you asked for money for certain things, was it given easily, or did you almost have to fight for it? Would your parents give you easily for certain things and not for others? All those may be reflected in how you spend your money now, or how easily you find it to get money for certain things. Also, was there a big family trauma around money? What I mean by family trauma, maybe that's it doesn't have to be exactly a trauma, but there could have been a turning point in your family's life where, for example, your parents may have got divorced or separated, and there would have been a big difference in the financial situation maybe, or it could have been that one of your parents lost a job and maybe your other parent had to go to work, or any number of different things. It could be, of course, losing on investments and then suddenly things changing. Or on the opposite side, it could have been that they came into wealth. And what did that mean? Also, what did making money mean for you or for your family? Did it mean that they were always working and had no time for the children? Or did it mean that they still had time and could use that money more easily? And were there certain things that went way back in the family, back in the family history that you can think of? Maybe your grandfather or your grandmother on your father's side or on your mother's side. Was there something that happened that was talked about in the family? Some event around money? Could have been the Depression, stock market failing. Could have been war and its impact on the finances of the family, as well as many other things around fear and security. Has there ever been a time in your family where they were, or in the family of your parents, where they were threatened with losing their home or losing it all? Or do you remember anything which went even further back in your family? Could be that you come from the Irish and the Great Potato Famine was still in the memory. Had that on one call. Or it could be that your parents came from another country and resettled and all that that meant. So just, and think of also the sacrifices that your parents might have made for money. What were the sacrifices they made for money? And how did that impact you? And now I just want you to think about your current experience with money. How much is it like the experience of your parents? And how is it different? Are you afraid of going further than your parents? Of outstripping them? Are you afraid of and humiliated that you haven't been able to make it up to the level of your parents and that you may never do that? Are you perhaps feeling that somehow you're not as good or not worthy because you haven't made money like your parents said? Did your parents say you can only make money if you're a doctor or a lawyer or some other profession? And therefore, are you feeling that even though you love what you do, that you can't possibly really make money out of it? All right. A lot of questions. Now, what I'm going to do is just open up for questions or comments right now, just to see what we have on the floor here, and then we'll go into the EFT clearing. I'm trying to get off mute. I did hear somebody.
Yes.
I guess I must be off mute because it's working even though the button isn't working on the computer. We have some technology things going on today which are weird. So, yes, so who's speaking there, please?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. It's Leandra.
Oh, great. So, Leandra, do you have some comments on that?
I have a couple of quick ones. This is... there goes my alarm. It's a great, great question, and I've worked through the Money Matrix with you before, and I have to say, just endorse, it's amazing. Really, really helped a lot. And this question came up before, and I feel the same way. It's like a disconnect with money, so it's not like I feel like money's dirty or anything like that. It's just it's a disconnect that it has to do with the fact that I realized only about 10 years ago that my dad had been as dishonest about his money as my mom, but I had actually been taken through stores when my mom was switching price tags, and I've watched her do a lot of pretty dishonest stuff around money, and then also be really mean with, like tipping. They'd make a waitress run like crazy and then give her a 10-cent tip and think they'd done such a jolly good thing or something. So it's made me work to live my life without it. Very, very interesting concept, because living without it, I live with the concept of money being invisible.
Yeah.
And that's, I'd like to get that cloak off.
Right, so definitely.
There's
so
my
let's
comment.
go with another go for that.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that's, so the whole dishonesty around money, and yeah, it's like you're living your life in rebellion almost.
Yeah,
against
well,
what
I was
your
living
parents...
my life in great embarrassment. It was so embarrassing to see my parents pull stunts like that. It was really, I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that was my comment.
Actually, that's interesting, because I don't know if I'd quite heard it that way before, but the embarrassment with money. So I'm going to put that into some of the clearing. So thank you, Leandra. Anybody else want to say a few words before we do the clearing?
Brent here.
Brent, yes, thank you.
Yes. When my, in my formative years, I probably was about 10 or 11, one of my dad's real estate friends died on the bathroom toilet.
Ooh.
And they always talked about that, as all he ever did was make money. All he ever did was make money. All he ever did was work. And they brought that story up constantly. Oh, well, my mom did. My dad never, and I never talked, but she would say, oh, you don't want to work too hard. Look what it did to, and I forget the guy's name, but he died on his toilet. In fact, he was so busy. He was so busy he had a phone on the toilet. And in retrospect, the guy wasn't exactly Elvis, right? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well,
that was,
I love
that was repeated.
What a
constantly.
Great story, but also one that would definitely not want make you not want to work too hard.
Well, it made me think that money was evil. Really, like it must kill people. And this is before I started work part time when I was like 15, and that was before then. And it never, you know, to me, having too much was going to kill me.
Okay. So that would definitely stop you from making too much. Right.
You know,
oh,
so
great,
what was
great.
Too much? You know, what was too much? I haven't been killed yet.
Right. So we might make, well, I think it's really interesting, because it might really, as opposed to some people who just overwork, and you may overwork, I'm sure, at times, but it may just discourage you from going the extra mile with your work. And so,
well, or doing that, it's resulted in a lot less consistency.
Yeah.
Right? Building up to a certain level and then not building over a certain level for sure.
Okay, so that's a certain feeling that you can have. And definitely anything which is related to the fact that you might die, the there's no way the subconscious is going to allow that to happen, in the sense of it will keep stopping you around that until it feels safe, because it feels like it's making you safe. So great. Thank you, Brent. Is there anybody else who would like to put something into the pot? The clearing pot.
I would like to add a few things.
Sure,
I'd like
please.
For to begin with, just to sort of comment on Leandra saying about money being invisible, and while I didn't have a similar experience that Leandra recounted, I did realize in that moment that that's how I've been treating money most of my life, and I just but it's more like if I ignore it, it's not really there.
Yes.
Right? It's like I don't really want to be in sobriety with it.
Yeah.
I know that's not exactly necessarily family stuff, but the family stuff that did come back to me, some of which I've not ever really seen before, is that my parents kind of gave me the message that I was bad around money, that I was frivolous around money.
Ah.
Because I would buy my presents, my friends, nice birthday presents.
Huh.
And when I was a teenager, like about 17, no, actually, yeah, at 17, they said, we're going to start charging you rent.
Yeah.
Now, in their minds, they were going to save that money for me. so that I could use it for whatever university or something else after. But they didn't tell me that. And I ended up leaving home at 18 because I couldn't figure out how to pay rent and save for my university. So there was there was always this kind of underhandedness about money. And the last thing that I just want to mention, that I don't know if you can put it all in the pot, but I think I mentioned it the other day, is that there's this kind of stuck pattern of behaving like I was 20 years ago vis-a-vis money. So even though I have more wealth now, I still act as though I was dirt poor in some ways. And my parents do exactly the same thing. They act now like they first did when they came to Canada. You know, 50 years ago.
Right. It tends to stick in the consciousness or the unconscious. Great, great realization. So, yes, we'll put it in the pot. And anything else? Anybody else want to put something in? Okay. So what I'll do is we'll go back and we'll start some of the clearing. And whatever I say, you can take that into account with the EFT. But also, if you want, you can just, of course, put in whatever comes up with you. So we'll go into the clearing and we'll see what else is there or what comes up out of all this. Just waiting for whatever to come through to come through. Even though I don't seem to be able to get away from some of the family patterns, however much I do, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I seem stuck in the same old money patterns, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I'm I don't know how old, and yet still I'm repeating the old patterns of my family, and I don't know how to get out of it. I'm tired of being in family history. I'm tired of the things they told me. It was all bullshit. It really was. I want to be generous with my money. I don't want to be tight-fisted like my family. Gifts are so beautiful. I so loved giving those gifts, and somehow they made it dirty. Somehow they made it like it wasn't good, that I wasn't good, that I wasn't capable. I was being so ashamed around money. So ashamed. I just don't even want to go near it. I wish money would get out of my life. Holy shit, what did I just say? Do I really want money out of my life? Do I really not want money around? What does that mean? And here I am, keeping saying, I want money. I want more money to do things. But on some levels, I don't want money. It's dangerous. Or I don't want to work too hard for money. I mean, look what it does to people. Dries them up, gives them no time for their families, gives them no time for the real important things in life. Why would one want to do that for money? If I work too hard, it's going to kill me. If I work too hard for what I believe in, it's going to kill me. Money can kill. Money's dangerous. Money should be avoided. Like the plague. Run from money. Look what it does in the world. Run, 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 run. Running from money, running from money, running from money, 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 money. Money, money, money is kind of funny. That money, you both love it and you hate it. You love how it gives you things, but you hate how it controls you. You hate what it does to other people. I hate what money does to me, how it contracts me. I hate what it does to other people, how they act with money. I hate the arguments that happen with money. Why don't we just all forget money? Money, 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 it's kind of funny. It's really kind of funny. You want it and you don't. You want it and you don't. Okay. So I'm going to open it up again. I'm not sure my computer is still not working. Can people say anything?
Yes.
Oh, good. Do people want to say anything after that? I didn't even want to stop that consciously, but I had to because I was told. So here we are. What did that bring up? Anything that people want to share?
Yeah, it's there is a very big dichotomy. I'll use a big word for a Monday morning, but on one hand, living under a bridge is doing anything but being able to give gifts to people.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, if we feel like we have a pile of it, it's going to burn our hands. We certainly have to find a place where we can live that's got a much more balanced approach to it.
Right.
Money flows through our society like insane. People are out making millions of dollars, so honestly, and for good purposes. There's good charities all the time. There's good causes all the time raising money.
Yeah.
And I want to find that happy medium where
right.
I can consistently earn it. I can earn it, but I don't do it consistently because I guess once the pile gets a little big, then I feel the heat or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be able to choose my attitude towards it. And
right.
You were showing me on one hand, I hate money, but on the other hand, no, I want it, you know. And it's true. It's exactly the psyche that I run with probably deep down in there.
Yeah, and a lot of people do. Thank you. Anybody else, or I'll go into another clearing and see what happens, and then we'll do the healing codes. Okay.
No, hang on. I was just writing something down, just so that I don't lose it, because it came up while you were doing the EFT.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can add it to the pot still, but it's this idea that I have that in order to actually have as much money as I desire, I have to work hard at a job I hate.
Right.
That's the only way to do it. And so I've said that so many times in so many different ways. And at the end of that, I always say, well, I'd rather just be poor then.
Right. Great. Thank you. So let's. And did your parents say something which made you think that way? Or not made you, but might have led that to that
you
thought?
Know,
or was it something you got from society as a whole?
I think I might have gotten it from society because my dad loved his work.
Yeah.
My mother, too. So I don't think necessarily it came from them, or at least, you know, what might have come from them is that you just have to work really, really hard.
Right.
But maybe not at the terrible job.
Yeah, so maybe somewhere else you got that because of the choices.
Yeah.
And sometimes our parents can work at things that are profitable, but what you choose may not seem to be profitable in the same way or make money in the same way. Might it be that?
Could be. It
or
could
something.
Be. But yeah. I know they also said things like, you know, well, if you became a lawyer or a doctor, that would be different.
Oh, okay. So that's where it came.
Yeah.
So even though they had a different reality, they'd still tell you what society says about it. And,
right.
Yeah. Great. Anybody else want to say something?
I just have one quick thing that it's just wrenching my guts.
Yes.
And, just came up just within
Please.
That last thing that was said. And that is, and I think this is from past life, I have a sense that not as strong as when I was younger, when I first recognized it, but I'm realizing it's still there. And that is, if I get a sum of money that I desire, or if money is spent on, for example, this came up when I got a new fridge, one of my children will have to die or be maimed pay for that. So I'd forgotten about that, but just who was that was just speaking? Is that Michaela?
Yeah.
When Michaela was speaking, it just reminded me, oh my gosh, that's still in there. So hopefully we can add that to the clearing pot too, because that's just sick.
that is a horrible one. One that would just freeze you very much.
You know what? I got a new fridge. They just feel like saying to Source, I got a new fridge, bite me, you know?
Take my children. Gee, it's like one of those, like in the fairy tales where you agree to something and that you forfeit your child. In fact, we won't go into the fairy tale, but I'm just remembering that one. Yeah, so let's, unless there's another, Alex, did you have anything?
I have one. Can I make a positive comment?
Yeah, for sure. Please,
Brent. When I was working with Alex Baisley, as you know quite well.
Yeah.
I did say to him as well that when I'm in the flow and I'm doing what the job that I'm supposed to be doing with the passion I have in the area of my expertise, money flows in like Niagara Falls.
Wow.
So that's something we can all look forward to, because it's an absolute true statement for all of us.
Yeah.
And you're in the flow.
Yeah. Thank you. So I like that. Money flows like Niagara Falls. So we just have to be prepared to take the strength of that flow. Wonderful.
Well, we have to undo the dam. That's what we're here to do.
Yes. So what we'll do, let me see. I think we need to do one more. I'll do one more tapping, and then we'll go do the healing codes. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. And here we go again. Even though I am so scared about money, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though the thought of having money scares me, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though money scares me, I deeply love and accept myself. What if I got the money? What if I get too much money? Somebody's going to die here. Me, my kids, if I spend it in the wrong way, if I get too much, something's going to go wrong. Something's going to go really, really wrong. I can't have money and follow my passion. I got to be a lawyer or a doctor, and I don't have any talent in that. I got to be something that society says is worth a lot, or I can't possibly make a lot of money. What if making money was easy? What if I was infinitely resourceful about finding ways to do life passionately, to follow my different passions, and to create money? What if creating money was really fun? What if I had a really fun relationship with money? Why does my relationship with money have to be so fraught with anxiety? Why isn't my money really, my money relationship or my relationship with my money really easy? Why isn't it becoming so easy now as I release all these beliefs? Why isn't having money and spending money a delight? Why isn't receiving money a delight? Why do I find that the old things that tied me down around money are just leaving? Why am I so good around money? Why am I just brilliant about money? Why am I a genius about money? Why is it that now I, who was so, okay, I know this is not politically correct, but I felt really dumb about money. I felt really, really dumb about money. I've done so many stupid things about money. Why is it that because of all those stupid things, I'm really brilliant now about money? Why is it I'm such a genius about allowing the flow of money? Why is it now I can teach others about money? Why is it that I am so good with money? Why do I have such an amazing, 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 beautiful, fantastic relationship with money? How is that possible? Why is it happening now? Why is it happening so quickly after being all dammed up for years? Why do I only have to remove a single stone for the dam, for the water, the flow of abundance just to come through? And what is that stone or those stones? How am I using my unconscious now? How am I bringing up from my unconscious now all the beliefs that need to be cleared? Why am I so brilliant around money? Why am I so good around money? Why am I so generous about money? Why am I knowing now what's the right balance of work and play around money? Why is it that money's not going to kill me? In fact, not having money is killing me. And now my unconscious is realizing how important and how wonderful it will be to have money. Whatever money I need to do my work, whatever money I need to do my play, I'm enjoying money. I'm using money for good, for me and others. I can take the responsibility of money. I am taking the responsibility of money. All right. So I'm going to now, I think I'm going to go straight into the healing codes, and then at the end of this all we can share again. Yes, so here we go with the healing codes. We're going to put all those beliefs, all those things that came up about working too hard and that we would die and that, or that we can't do the work that we love or that we have to work so, 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 so hard that it's just unpleasant. All those beliefs, all the beliefs that came from our families around money, that somehow it was a nasty thing, that a source of embarrassment, that somehow you would not want to be close to money. All those things, let's just let them go. So I pray, request that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories and all resulting physical issues related to money and it being kind of dangerous or dirty or shameful, and that I couldn't possibly have it and enjoy it. All those and all the other beliefs around money that are getting in my way, that they be found, opened, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of the creative force. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. All right, we go to the point in between the eyebrows, and we cup our hands and point the energy there. And the positive or the truth-focused statement that you can have is I am open to the flow of money into my life. I'm open to whatever way money wants to come into my life. I don't put conditions on the way money comes into my life. I just accept it as a flow. I accept it as a gift from the universe so I can lead my life and follow my gifts. And then going to the throat. I delight in money. Money enchants me. I am breaking the bad spell of money and bringing in its enchanting form. I am allowing money to help me realize my dream. I'm working in partnership with money, not against it. Okay, and now we're going to the hinge of the jaw. And I am open to the abundance of the universe. Unlocking all resistance to the flow of money. All right, now we're going to the side of the temple. And then we're going again to the area in between the eyebrows and shining our energy on that area, the energy from the hand. And now we're coming down to the throat area and directing the energy towards that healing center. And we're allowing the body to heal. Heal those memories that were so damaging to us. Knowing that we're worthy of the abundance of the universe. We are more than worthy. We don't have to prove ourselves anymore. I am open to receive the abundance of the universe. And then to the hinge of the jaw. And then to the side of the temples. And then putting our hand on top of the crown of the head, and just putting one hand on top of the other, and just leaving it there for a moment or two. And then we'll just let our hands relax down at our side, and I'm going to open up the call. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Is that Alex?
Yeah, and I think I heard Michaela too.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. I hadn't heard you for a while, and I couldn't see, so I'm glad to see you're there. Mm-hmm. And any response or anything you'd like to say coming out of this?
Again, I'm just feeling like a surrendering. At first, I was doing a lot of thinking, and then when I just let go and just reminded myself that part of it is being, just being and being in your flow. And the other part that I kept remembering was when you were doing the clearing and you were getting really playful about money is kind of funny. And you were, and I just felt that kind of playfulness, and I kind of brought a smile to my face and reminded me of, again, just feel the joy, feel the playfulness, because money is not separate from that. We separate it, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just trying to stay with that feeling and let go of some of the resistance. And yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're probably better than anybody at playing.
Yes, but bringing it into unknown territory.
Yes, but you have just such a, there's just such a delightful sense of play about so many things you do. It's always something I've really admired about you. So
thank you, Katie.
I'm sure it will. Well, it is in. You have had it with money, and it's just a question of getting it more consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Did you want to say something else, Alex?
No, thank you. That's perfect. Thank you.
Wonderful.
One of the
Brent? Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I realized that when we were doing the codes themselves, something that came out, a memory that came out that was very strong, was how everyone always said how hard Dad had to work to make money. And that's why he didn't have to spend 2 minutes with us ever, because he was working so hard for his money, so hard. And it just came over me like a wave, you know, a lot of the things in your memories you block.
Yeah.
And he was a bitter, hardworking man, you know. How many of them were there in that generation? where daddy got all kinds of slack, didn't ever have to do anything because he worked so hard. Well, I think moms worked pretty darn hard too, you know. Probably harder. And they didn't get out of the house, but anyway, that's another story. And
yes.
But that I've forgotten all about that thing from a very early age. Oh, well, leave him alone. Leave him alone. He always works so hard. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Well, that's crazy. It's crazy talk.
Yeah. And so it's somehow that if you work hard, you have no responsibility for your family. And other than that.
You can run roughshod over them as long as you bring in a check. So, and I never wanted to do that. So there's a message right there.
Right. So instead,
but that's all I had to say. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Brent. That's a big thing there. Anybody else? Or if people want to say what they've got
here,
from the call overall. Who's talking?
Hi there.
Sorry?
Leandra.
Great.
I'm just kind of in a bit of a float here from the healing, and what I began to see, I was like Alex, I resisted for a little bit there, and then finally it was like I had to give up and move into it. What I began to see when I started to float was my own feet as an infant, and I could just see those baby toes. I don't even know if that's what my feet looked like, but on my mental screen, that's what I was seeing. I knew they were my feet, and they looked so innocent, and it was just like that whole being open to the flow. That's what I was born with, was being open to the flow. And it was nice to see it, and it feels like when I put my hands up on the crown of my head, it was like sealing in that welcome to the world in a new way, feeling very safe in stepping into the flow again. It's all right to step back into it.
Beautiful. And I remember yesterday you talked about being the ability of infants really to receive, and when you had a colicky infant, then it was very hard to give to them sometimes. So you were saying about how it was so important to be able to just sit back and receive, and I think here you've taken it to another level. Wonderful.
No, it wasn't me that took it there. It was you. Thank you.
Well, you did too. I'm just facilitating. Here we go. So anybody else?
Yeah, I'll just say that I too had a very strong feeling of the flow. And I think for me, it was this kind of, I think the fact that you highlighted the, not highlighted, but mentioned, excuse me, the thing about buying presents. And I kind of connected to that and was like, oh, how beautiful to be in the flow of receiving enough money that you could give beautiful presents all the time. And that just made me feel so, it's full. That's the only thing I can say. But I want to say that it also, you know, and paradoxically, it always seems to come with something else, is that during the healing code, I touched a part that I probably have never really seen before, and I really can't even articulate it, but how afraid I am of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could just feel how my heart chakra, at one moment when there, you were sort of saying some positive things about money, and my heart chakra just shut.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like some kind of primordial fear. You know, like I think it's old. I think it's probably older than my early life and older than my parents. And it could be that it's generations of, or accumulation of generations of fear.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go after that maybe a couple of times today to see if I get a little bit more insight into it.
That sounds amazing, because that will really it looks like you're getting to a very, very deep thing that will help you so much when it releases. And it's,
right. Yeah.
It's paradoxical that it's good in this work to find where you are stuck. That's probably the most important thing, because once you've really pinpointed it, then it can release.
Right.
So that's really good, because what actually where you do have a problem is when people think that they're completely fixed and we're like there's nothing else to release. They've done all the work, and often people who've been doing power of attraction or all those things, they think that they've got all the positive beliefs in place and so they're fine, and yet there's still things that are there that just are deeper under the surface. So thank you for sharing that, Michaela.
Well, thank you for making the space for it to arise.
No kidding.
Thank you. So unless somebody else has one more comment, I will close the call for today. I'll just wait one more minute. Well, thank you very, very much for all your participation and all the discoveries you're making through this process. It's inspiring me. And so I'm going to end this day 5, and we're halfway through. So who knows what will come from here. Bye then. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Katie.
Bye.